sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Johnny on the Blood Ride.
And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing In My Mother's Skin. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But as John mentioned, we're back on the ride, the Blood Ride, episode five, titled The Old School.
Just a few stops left. Also, forgive my voice. I went to an Elder Emo concert on Friday, and now I'm losing my voice.
So they're canceled?
One of the few that is okay. But also, I was screaming a lot.
Yeah.
God, so just one more stop, and we've ended our ride of the blood.
So I'm disappointed because, like, I was watching the title intro. I mean, I don't have a choice. It starts all the same. But I noticed that there's more than six people.
Yeah.
So are we going to get more than six?
No, I think they ended the ride.
In 2020?
Yeah, they're like, you know what? Everybody get off this bus. I don't want any of you guys on here.
Get off. What did you think of this episode?
What did I think of the worst episode? I thought it was the worst episode. I watched this, I think, four times.
Ah, okay.
Because I kept swearing that I hadn't finished it. And every time I got to the end, I was like, oh, okay. And then I would move on with my life and then go back like, oh, I don't think I finished that. Because it's got such a bad ending.
Yes, 100%.
Which sucks because, like, this actress was doing a really good job. Like, beautiful woman. In a weird way, I don't know, this might just come across as comical, but she kind of looks like Jennifer Lawrence. Like, look at her real quick on IMDb.
Oh my God, John, don't pull me in your stuff, please.
She's got that little red face and the puffy cheeks. Don't be racist, Rolando.
What?
Say the right thing.
So, if the actress is black, so trying to take Judd's, I know Judd's not joking, so I'm really looking at her. I guess I see what you mean. Are you talking about, like, cheeks, forehead?
I mean, like, just features, shape of the head. And
features,
yeah.
Aside, yeah. Yeah, I guess
so. Also, Judd, these are two of the worst photos they could have picked for this.
Yeah, this is not. Let's quickly pivot out of this. I think she was really good in the part as well.
Talking about the actress that looks like Jennifer Lawrence?
I'm talking about Ellen Bendu.
Yes.
She was quite good in this. And actually, I really love the cinematography with this. I thought it was really well shot. I like the setting and the locations and everything.
Yeah, story was just not there.
Hold on, we're gonna get in there. I didn't mind it. I've accepted the ride. Okay, you gotta just accept the ride for what it is. It's a bumpy ride with plot holes.
Corny. There's some weird acting choices towards the end.
I was looking for a different twist than this. It's pretty straightforward, considering.
It was so straightforward,
yeah,
right?
Too straightforward.
Like, yeah. Like, I was expecting the most common twist we would get because we're so used to M. Night Shyamalan movies.
Yeah.
Right? Where
I thought she was dead. Just FYI. That was my first thought.
That's what I thought, too. That's what I thought. And then there's a caretaker character
who they want you to believe is dead, but isn't dead.
Yeah. And then on top of that, they want you to think, like, he killed a bunch of kids.
But he did.
But he did.
That's the twist. There's no twist.
The thing is, like, the way he presents that, the choice that they gave him was, he starts to smile. It's like, yeah, I killed all those evil kids. And it's like, the way the story unfolds, he wouldn't be excited about this. Like, I don't know why they made that have be like a red herring for no reason.
Yeah. His choice was like too not comical, but it was like too, it wasn't much dimension behind his choice and how he was portraying that moments. Does that make sense?
I thought that was like a poor choice for the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they want you to very quickly think like, oh, he was the bad guy the whole time.
He's wearing all black.
He hangs out alone. He's got to be a bad guy.
He has a beard.
He takes care of his son. What a bad person. And then it's just like towards the end, like I thought for sure also the other twist might be, there's a fellow teacher, right? The one that does yoga and is kind of like, she sees the kids too.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to be a bad guy.
I thought she was the mom. Be like,
she sacrificed.
That's what I thought, because they said, didn't they say like something about the mom made him do weird stuff? And I was like, oh, this chick is like hippie new age. Maybe she's like a new version witch or something, was my other thought.
That would have been, yeah, that would have been a good call, because I thought she was just a witch and she was going to sacrifice the main actress.
Yeah. Like I thought she was more tied to the kids. But she wasn't. She was just like, I guess the character to help her with that supernatural side, I guess, was her purpose.
And then they find some ritual to do, right? Like some chant. And do they even do it?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I want to believe, but I don't remember that happening the four times I saw this stupid short. Like, I was like, wait, I see them grab the book and she's like, oh, look. Move the door, blah blah, something poorly worded, which I'm sure is just a bad translation. But
right,
yeah. Then the kids appear, and then they're like, "Haha, we're evil."
Like, okay, we're gonna eat your face.
Yeah, like literally the last like 2 minutes. Haha, we're evil. Just kidding. And now you're all eaten or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but no, there's like it was a bad
blood
ending.
Splatter from the next room.
It was a bad ending.
That's the end of the short.
I think this short had potential. I think that like he cast really well. I think it was like really well shot. There's some nice like setup to an interesting story. But I mean the way they decided to end it was pretty predictable.
Kind of
boring.
Corny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like if they were gonna go with that ending, they should have like purposely like put some of those things in the short. Like it could go either way. Like maybe they're evil, maybe they're not. You know what I mean? Like more of a, I don't know, consequences of it.
Or present like another like demon character who's trying to help, right. Like a fairy or something, right? And is in like, you know, a shed in the middle of like a jungly forest.
Right. Yeah.
And two kids go and talk to this fairy woman, or this one girl, I guess, to save their mother. I'm just kidding. I'm just describing.
You're describing the movie Pan's movie. Labyrinth.
Oh, actually, I was describing in my mother's skin.
Oh yeah. This, well,
so it is Pan's Labyrinth.
It is Pan's Labyrinth. It's a Filipino Pan's Labyrinth. Yeah. You nailed it. Yeah. Your video did drop, John, but I can still hear you. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Now they all know.
Now they all know. We look at each other when we record these. We never break eye contact. This is weird.
So
it's not maybe to look at you. I don't know.
It's important to note that the school hadn't been open for 40 years.
I thought they said 40 years.
Yeah, 40 years, yeah. And that's important to note because I don't know.
I low-key thought... Oh, you're back. I low-key thought the principal was the one who did it because he was maybe one of the kids in the little picture. He was one of the kids in the little picture, right? He did go to school with the girls. So I thought maybe...
Yeah, classic awesome scene in this kind of short... with poor choices.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yep, that's me, you found me. And he pops out of nowhere like a jump scare kind of.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, is that you? I heard some of the kids went missing, and then points at one of the girls because she had seen the girl already, right?
Right.
Like the ghost girl. And he just goes quiet and walks away. I'm like, okay.
You know what's funny is I actually was okay with this one. I was like, you know, this is not bad. I'm fine. Yeah. I not a thrill ride, thrill blood ride, but it was like, you know, medium ride. But yeah. now that I'm talking with you, I don't think I like this one anymore. No, it was
bad. So, and I think I would have liked it more if I'd only seen it one time without realizing I never.
Yeah.
Because I swear, like, that ending is so abrupt that I think, like, oh, what happened? And I'm like, oh, I never finished it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it doesn't, I mean, this is inherent problem with the Netflix, but what I was going to say is, doesn't it immediately jump to like the next thing you're going to watch and gives you like 10 seconds before you have to decide what you want to do within that time?
Oh, you want to hear a pretty funny story about, I think the third time I tried to watch it?
What's up?
I fell asleep, so apparently I finished the blood ride by accident.
No.
According to my Netflix, I finished the blood ride because I fell asleep. Which I never fall asleep on my couch, and I fell asleep.
Well, to be fair, you're working a lot, so.
That's true.
So I'm busy.
I just figured I'd keep sliding off the blood of the ride. Nope. All right. Well, that was
blood ride. John's convinced me it sucked.
I had high hopes for this one, to be honest.
Well, would you say the previous episode, which I don't remember, was the height? Has been the height of the ride?
You know what? Sure, why not? I also don't remember what happened in that one. But.
So they're rats. They're in a box or some shit. I personally think it's the best one.
That's right.
That's my personal favorite in the series. Maybe at the end of this ride, we can talk about our personal favorite ride. Only because how much it'll annoy you.
I don't believe in picking your favorite child. You know what I mean? So
the fourth one.
They're all equally as important and beautiful to me. They're great. You know what? I think if this one was shot and presented the same way as the other ones, you know how the other ones have a very like goosebumpsy sort of feel to them?
Yeah.
If this wasn't so cinematically nice, I think I would forgive it.
Good cinematography. More. Yeah, I love the lush fields and the greens and everything. It looked really cool. It was good. Yeah. What do you fall on Beau's Afraid being a horror movie?
I feel like it's a very different type of horror movie. I feel like it's a... You're watching the movie and everything that's going on is very horrific and you definitely feel anxiety. Like, I don't want this to ever happen to me, which is basically what horror movies are like. Right.
Right.
So I think that's where that falls. But, I mean, there's no monster. Well,
the mother.
No, I'm not going to ruin it for you.
I'm almost done. Well, because it's like I see it pop up in a lot of horror movies lists, and I don't know if people are just being like, this could, like, they're making a statement like this could be horror too, or maybe they're trying to make, well, clearly they're trying to make an argument that like this movie is horror. And I think, you know, you and I both stand on the idea that like horror is not just like one thing. It's,
yeah,
many thing. It could be anything, really. I mean, there's so many different variations of genres, mixed genres, movies and stuff that we've seen.
It's kind of like, I'm surprised nobody's really talked about this, but I would consider Requiem for a Dream a horror movie.
Oh yeah, I would too. You know? Yeah,
but nobody talks about that.
Yeah So that's so this one, I mean, so it's not out of the question
That it could possibly, that
somebody
be
could feel horrific things watching this movie.
No, I don't think that's out of the question at all. I think I've yet to meet the person that didn't watch the movie and go like, I couldn't get through it. It was too much.
Yeah.
I was gonna pull my hair out.
Yeah. Interesting. So yeah. That was Blood Ride.
That was Blood Ride. I was afraid.
Got an hour left. Six. I'll let you know. Well, I know we were talking about that, you know, before we recorded, but I'll let you know.
Cool.
What I thought. But okay. Just needed to kill some time there because Bloodhard was a little short.
Because the stops between episodes 4 and 5 were short, so that's why the Blood Ride was short.
This time around. Yeah. Alrighty. If nothing else, let's move over to our main review of In My Mother's Skin.
That is the quickest we've ever reviewed.
I'm trying to find something else to say. I mean, we can talk about the holdovers, but it's not very horror-centric, you and I.
Oh, man, his glass eye. Whoa.
Horrific.
Nope. Like I was saying, maybe I should have waited and we could have reviewed it, but Wellington Paranormal, I got to give like a big 2 thumbs up for. It's really, really funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea there was 4 seasons too.
Oh, okay. So it's been around a while then.
A little bit. Yeah. It's not around anymore, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. That stuff tends not to last. It's like only in America where they just make 100 seasons of something.
Oh, it actually just ended 2022.
Ah, there you go.
So not a whole long, 2018 to 2022. Yeah, I feel like What We Do in the Shadows is finally going to end.
Yep.
Like, I'm surprised that show went on that long. I know people really love it, but I'm saying they're pretty good about capping it before it gets just redundant.
Yeah, I feel like it's finally reached, like, oh, I love it. Like, I'm not going to complain about it. But yeah, I think they've stretched it as far as they could now. This is, like, there's much else they can mine out of that idea, to be honest. But love it.
It's pretty wild that they're all going to get killed off. I don't know anything. Don't come at me. I don't know anything.
All righty. Do you got anything else? You watching anything else?
What else did I watch? Oh, Poor Things.
Oh yeah,
it has Frankenstein's monster in it.
That's true.
It's not a horror movie, but it's got Frankenstein's monster in it.
Yep.
And then Frankenstein's monster makes his own monster, the hideous, hideous, ugly Emma Stone.
So I think you've seen all of the Frankenstein inspired movies that were released last year. What was your favorite?
I think so.
What was your favorite?
Oh, Birth, Rebirth. Yeah. Like by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, that movie is still pretty effective. Still think about that one. It's so good.
Yeah. And I think, what did I say was my number one? Talk to Me? I feel like I want to, in retrospect, I probably would want to switch it.
Ah. Yeah.
To Birth, Rebirth. I just, the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, nah, it's just a really, really good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I think we got enough out of Blood, right? I think it's now.
Hold on, we still got 1.5 minutes. Right. Listeners at home, count down with us. 30, 29.
Shit. Okay.
No, let's move on.
I got nothing. Ride. All right. Yeah. Move on to our main review of In My Mother's Skin. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
4. In My Mother's Skin. Coming in at 3. A poorly translated Disney tale. Coming in at 2 for In My Mother's Skin. A sickly mom gets another bug. And coming in at 1 for In My Mother's Skin. Fairy godmother attends Met Gala. Theme is camp. I'm just kidding. No, that's probably offensive to whatever.
This is serious, John. How dare you?
Whatever the fairy's trying to emulate.
I didn't look up what it's supposed to mean. I don't know.
No, I know it's a part of a folklore or something, but I didn't dive too hard.
Same. So this movie I wanted to pick for us to watch because it was on like on a lot of end of the year lists. lot of lists right now. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. And it looked interesting. I saw the trailer. Definitely had a mood and a vibe to it. So
yeah.
What'd you think, John?
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it was. Like, because I did go back and try to rewatch parts because I was like, I feel like I'm missing something. Mm-hmm. So it's in the Philippines. So the language is like, if kind of feels like a hybrid Asian Latin sort of style language, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I feel like I focused way too much on this like whole World War II ending aspect of the story, which is really not that important.
Right.
I mean, it kind of is. I think there was too many things going on.
Yeah.
Which is weird because not a whole lot happens either. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was shot very well. I thought a lot of the effects and the gore and the deaths were pretty effective. I don't quite grasp what the ending's supposed to mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure what it was about it that I was like, okay, this just makes the movie okay. Like, it could have been really, really good.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the same boat. Like, I was not, like, I think I understood it, but I don't think I was ever, like, emotionally invested in the movie. Like, I never got, like, into the movie. I was kind of, like, arm's length with it.
Yeah.
I think it's also...
Which is funny, because I'm losing my voice because I was screaming the lyrics to Within Arm's Length by Poison the Wall on Friday. So there you go. Connections.
I mean, there's nothing like... I feel like it's also a very... it's a very, like, kind of violent, messy movie. So it's like, there's really not a lot. It's so matter of fact, and it's... delivery as well, that I couldn't really like get into it.
Like, you know, like even the very end where it's not even like a monster thing anymore, the last like 10 minutes,
right? Or whatever, yeah,
was very Tarantino all of a sudden. It's like, okay,
I kind of felt like I needed to know more about. Where they were, who they, you know, why, like more story beats. Does that make sense? Because it almost feels like we just get these little snippets of like their dad wants, you know, owes these people money, so he has to go do stuff, and then the mother's sick, and then immediately we're already meeting like the fairy, but then we don't know why the fairy's there. Is this something that's in the forest? And then all the, you know, she's dealing with the fairy, and then all this other shit just starts like falling apart and stuff. So it was just like, not, I feel like there needed to be more explanation.
Yeah, I think so. Cause I didn't quite understand the beginning. You see somebody eating another person and I could have sworn it was a dad.
Yep.
So I thought it was going to switch over, but that's obviously not the dad. Cause you can't really see what's going on either.
That was my other complaint. I had a really hard time watching this movie. It was super dark.
Yeah.
Right.
I had the brightness up all the way.
Yeah.
On like everything I was watching it on. I try to watch it on different things.
Mm-hmm.
Which also made reading the subtitles kind of difficult for some reason.
Yeah. The way the language is spoken, it feels like they're saying it so fast, you know, in their language that I feel like I have to stay on the subtitles and not really pay attention to, because I feel like they're saying it so fast it ends, and then I got to look at the subtitles and then just look back up the screen, and I'm doing this like back and forth. So it was it took a while to adjust to the pacing and stuff, the way they're saying.
Which I gotta admit though, like the kids in this movie, especially that young lady, did a phenomenal job. It's just, you know, they were, I don't know.
There was like
everything you're saying, I agree with.
There was like, yeah, there was no like there with her, right? Like I her mother was sick. Yes, I get it. Like, so I was just thinking, like, is this like a, if it's a fairy tale, I was trying to think, like, what's the one with the kids that sees the witch in the woods? Which one's that? Hansel and Gretel?
Yes.
So is that like a play on Hansel and Gretel? Like, but it's not really.
I don't know if this is like a specific like folklore tale from the Philippines.
Right. I think.
So, yeah, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I think what I think I was trying to get at is like like pull me in. Like, where is this? Where's find? I didn't really find my way into the story. You know what I mean? Like, is it Hansel and Gretel? Is it this or that? Like, how do I relate to it? How do I get pulled into it? Because I had a hard time. I don't know. Like we were joking around, like how it's very Pan's Labyrinth, where it's kind of like there's a fairy tale, dark fairy tale stuff to it, and there's like a little girl who's trying to help her family, and vice versa. So it's like I did see some similarities there. So
yeah, I guess also we're fans of Guillermo del Toro, who is like the premier fairy tale horror movie guy,
right? Yeah.
So this just felt like an attempt at that.
Yeah. Done through. I did enjoy them doing it through this through the Philippines lens. You know what I mean? Through another person's yes. idea of it. Like I was really like blown away by the visual of the fairy who we see a lot.
Yes.
In this and so, and then kind of figuring out what's her deal.
I could have done without. There's like moments where the fairy shifts its face.
It's a little too obvious, right?
Yeah, it seemed very that's where it gets kind of campy too, like you don't have to over CGI that, like everything else was really good,
right? Because it has the way it looks, it's like she almost has like this giant colorful headdress, was in contrast of like the sort of muted dark color of the world that she was in. So it had like this nice dust position, you know, to her. And then the way they just cut out the face of it, of the headdress and stuff, and how that's like presented well. So I was like, yeah, that's all really cool. I really enjoyed that, the look of the fairy,
which I guess like also is supposed to be emulating the saint that they pray to or something, right?
That's right. There's a little nod to some sort of religious figure.
I wouldn't know. Yeah. Yeah.
We're grasping at that part. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, oh man, I don't know. I don't know how to explain how there's a lot of good moments in this movie, but it was still difficult for me to watch.
Yeah. I think they did something with the score too. It's not really a score, but it was like music that would play that there had fantastical elements to it. Did you notice that? Like it had like, presented like a fairy tale, yes, even though it has the stark contrast of like of the time it was set in, and everything's kind of dirty and lived in. So, but the music kind of felt like it was building up to moments.
I was gonna say at the beginning when you get your first glimpse of the fairy's influence or like feeding the bugs, look like cicadas, sort of. Mm-hmm. I don't know. some guys. Draining all the blood from another body with like a long tongue. So I'm assuming like whatever that insect is, that type of tongue.
Right.
But it was so dark. I wasn't sure what I was looking at. I was like, oh, it starts off with a sex scene.
That's right.
And then it finally went into it like a minute later. I'm like, oh shit, this guy's like draining this dude's blood with like some sort of insect tongue. And then that never plays again.
Yeah, and I thought they did a good job with like it's kind of I almost thought that when the mother was infected, like I almost thought that it was turning into like a body horror movie at some point.
Yeah.
Because they're very gory. It's a very gory movie. It doesn't really shy away from violence or gore or anything.
I mean, there's like one of the characters' heads, which I thought was really daunting. Because when you first see that, it's so dark. I was like, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if that was a budgetary thing, because I think what the implication is in the beginning is that's the village. She's already corrupted the village. Because they said, they do mention.
Oh, that makes sense.
That they're all dead.
There is a moment where somebody, one of the children goes to. Well, let me backtrack real quick. So like these kids, like their father goes away and explains the whole situation. Doesn't even lie about it. It's like, hey, I'm trying to help the Americans. That's basically it. I've stolen Japanese gold because Japan has occupation there in the Philippines, but they're starting to lose control, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this other guy really wants the gold. I didn't understand who that character was, but he's there. And he's hiding in the forest. He's the only guy that doesn't get affected by anything around him until the end.
Yeah.
But the kids, for some reason, the son was taught by his dad how to use a 45, a gun. And then the daughter's like, hey, we got to go look for our dad. So they went into the forest. I was like, what? And then they get separated. And she, well, no, what, they go into that hut where the fairy's at. And the little girl's like, I'll go in by myself. And then she's like, oh, ooh, piece of candy. So she eats candy. It's like, why would you do that?
Okay, well, they were starving because their mother had gotten sick.
But
still, I get your point. Like, yeah, that's, yeah, she didn't even share
there
it.
There is a caretaker, by the way.
That's true. Pretty useless caretaker. Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought that was funny. So she's starving, and instead of sharing with her younger brother, she's like, I'm just going to eat this candy and not say anything. Yeah. Which, if the fairy was smart, that would have been her in and taking over the kid, because clearly the kids will just fucking eat whatever's in front of them.
True, yeah. The fairy, I guess, the fairy was interested in both of them, right? I mean, in the end.
All of them, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What else can I say about that? I mean, they just go back, and when they're going back, maybe she is already influenced by that candy because she starts to hear things and she thinks she sees her dad, and then the son gets distracted and walks in like towards a lake where there's a bunch of dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell if that was like through what was going on in World War II, which they try to make like a big focal point, and then I kept forgetting about that.
I kind of feel like this movie needed that yoga instructor from Blood Rite to kind of have the book to explain
exactly
everything that's going on. Because like you kind of need
that's what I'm saying. Like we shit all over Blood Rite, but it's just perfect. It's the perfect series. I don't know. The story just feels like it just kind of goes, and there's not a whole lot of driving force to move the plot along. It's just like
matter of fact.
Yeah, there's no stakes, right?
I mean, just aside from them living, right? That's kind of like the surviving or whatever. I mean, but yeah, I get your point. There's no like, like if we had seen more of a family dynamic, that would have been good. More with the mother, have seen them more hungry and more, you know, like dealing with their dad missing, more danger, you know, something, just more of it. So that way when.
Which is just more peppered in, not a part of the story, right? Because it occurred to me, even if the fairy wasn't around, this family would probably get killed anyway.
Yeah, it almost seemed to, it was like gonna happen, right?
Yeah.
They didn't have the means to protect themselves, especially considering what was happening in their country. That makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, right. So much chaos.
Yeah, no, there was a gate. And then there was a medium to small size dog that was chained up very far away from the house.
Yeah.
That I forgot about until it got eaten. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I had to skip that part.
I mean, I'm trying to like, I'm struggling to like talk about what's going on in the movie because, to be quite honest, I'm pretty sure it's straightforward. I think I want there to be more meaning behind stuff, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
I think we need to, for that extra meaning, we would probably have to know more about the.
Get on the Blood Ride.
More. Like insight into, I think that's what that movie's missing. It's kind of like we're presenting you with all these like fantastical ideas and this very, very specific time in history that I didn't even know about. Like, I didn't know that Japanese were in the Philippines. Like, I don't fucking know that. Why would I know that? So I'm a dumb American. So, like, it's very specific.
We're Texans. We don't give a fuck.
It's kind of like almost the filmmakers needed to kind of like take a step back and kind of like walk you into the mindset they want you to be in as for like audience wise.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it was a budget thing. Like if they were actually, I think you mentioned this, like if the war was actually happening there, like they were under fire or like in danger of getting killed all the time and made them desperate enough, more, you know, properly desperate enough to take the fairies' gifts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It would have been more interesting.
Like they,
because, yeah. You know what this movie is very similar to and just not as well done? Jin. Because Jin was like this and it was better.
Okay, yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did a better job. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Little throwback to 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. That sounds correct. Sure. Go look it up. God, look, I don't know.
There's a spreadsheet somewhere.
So somebody's keeping count of this stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. We got our fans. We got a fan.
We have sitting right next to you. I'm gonna turn it on. Okay.
You want to just get into spoilers?
Okay, let's get into spoilers.
Wait! No! Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So, the spoiler is, they all die?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's like, so the fairy presents this bug that would save her mother's life. And she straight up tells her, but like, you know, she'll lose her humanity or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what? How is this a choice? But the little girl's like, no, you're right. It's okay. She doesn't need her humanity. Just save her. What? So the mom, of course, is sick. She kills the guy. The older guy at the beginning of the movie who's trying to find the gold.
Yeah.
And the translation is the treasure. So I got confused. I wasn't sure. I was like, what's the treasure? Oh, it's the fucking gold that the guy stole at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And he's, I don't want to throw shade at her boy, but he like Tom Atkins style, woos the caretaker of the house to help him. He's like, yeah, come on, baby, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, is this chick looking at this guy? And like, this guy's like,
it's not wartime, John. I mean, you got to make people have needs. Yeah.
That's fair. You know what? Whatever. I, you know what? I'm yucking somebody's yum. Exactly. I'm being a piece of shit right
somebody's,
now. Yeah, I take it back.
Somebody special, somebody. And, how dare you.
And that special somebody turned right around and shot her? No, I don't remember.
No, it was the little girl shot her.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, see, that's even another little story beat that was like kind of needed a little bit more fleshing out, because I feel like we barely even meet the caretaker before we're like, oh, she's bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there should, like, even if it was like, the perspective of the movie was from the caretaker would have even been more interesting. Like,
probably,
you know, maybe she, I don't know. There was nothing like, how long does she know these kids? Why was she taking care of them? There was like, no, I didn't know anything about these people. Be honest.
I didn't understand why it was like, oh, it's the perspective of the kids. And then it wasn't, it was just the perspective of the daughter. Like it shifts like second act. And then we don't really care too much about the son.
The son gets a little, yeah, he's very like left out of things, which it would have been interesting if he was like included. He was like into like the fairy stuff, right? Like,
yeah, because all we get from the son is he has a gun and then he never uses it.
He gets shot.
Yeah, he gets shot before he, like...
yeah, before he's able to use it.
The older dude just straight up fucking tries to murk him, and then, like... And then the... Yeah. But the daughter's trying to, like, run out into the forest with him. Like, you just gotta endure the pain. We gotta get out of here. I'm like, where are you gonna go?
Yeah.
Go hide somewhere. Like, don't... Stop running into the middle of the open area of the forest. Yeah. But then she goes missing, right?
Who?
Is the mother still alive at this point?
She's transforming. Yes. She's not really alive or dead. You know, she's kind of like whatever the fairy turned her into or something.
Like she eats the dog. And then later it seems like she comes to after eating the dude that's trying to find the treasure, right? The treasure, the gold?
Yeah.
And then she pukes up a crow.
Right.
And that means something.
And then the fairy eats the crow. So we can... The fairy eats the crow. That makes sense.
So this fairy goes and tries to eat a bunch of Verna's.
That's pretty much.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't understand like, the logistics of what was going on. Yeah. Maybe it's all symbolic, great, but like if there's no clues as to what it means, then I'm just okay.
Yeah, like in retrospect, I can say like my guess was like, look, it's like part of their humanity, it's their soul. That's what they were eating. That's what the thing wanted to eat. Whatever. I mean, I could be wrong, whatever. It could be, if we looked it up, we probably could find more reasons, better reasons, but fun. Yeah. But, specifically the ending, like, do you think it was as matter of fact? The legit ending with the dad shows up again with the guy, tells the guy like, oh, I have the gold and the whatever, conveniently tells the other soldier that where the gold stashed.
Yeah.
And then
I'm guessing the little girl, because she gets presented some sort of orb by the fairy saying like, hey, if you eat this, you can get whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. And there's always this idea that the fairy's going to eat everybody, and she does end up like she eats the son and leaves the head at one point, and the head's just like
I thought it was the mother
on the second floor.
Did you say the mother? I thought the mother ate the son. No,
did the mother eat the son? I thought the mother had already. Oh no, you're probably right. Okay, so the mother ate.
I think so.
I don't know.
He was eating the dead bodies. I think because she ate the caretaker when the caretaker was shot, and she was like kind of like the monster horror thing or whatever in the house, you know what I mean? Like
that's true, yeah.
And then, but she specifically wanted to eat the daughter. That's why she was like propositioning with the orb or whatever.
I feel like I gotta. My assumption of what was going on there was her entire family is dead, and I think she just assumed that her father was dead. I feel like she ate the orb, and what she wanted was for the family to be together again. So that's why she allowed the dad to come back and get killed, even though like the other soldier just shot him in the back of the head.
She didn't see that, right, per se?
No, but she did walk out, and she just like walked back into a room and hid. Like very...
It's a weird moment.
Like catatonic state.
Hmm.
And then that's why I'm thinking when she was leaving and walking into the forest alone with the lamp, I think what the fairy did was introduce the idea of her being another fairy.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But also, I don't know. Like, it ends in a very, like, pseudo-thoughtful way.
Yeah. I don't know. That was a kind of confusing ending for me. Yeah. It's like I just took it as like on face value, like matter of fact. Like her family's dead, all her people are dead, so she's gonna go fucking go somewhere else.
Yeah, she's gonna
move on.
And she says some sort of weird internal monologue about, please guide me, mother, into like whatever. I need your help more than now than ever. And I guess you could have thought like, oh, her mom that was possessed by whatever that bug was and then just like disintegrates into like a bunch of bugs, right? I guess becomes into like a part of the forest, I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
So when she's saying mother, I'm just thinking maybe she's talking about the fairy, because I'm assuming that's the fairy godmother, just not a knight, the version we're used to in America.
Mm-hmm. That tracks.
And this is a sequel to Snow White, I think.
I mean, that kind of like landed on a thud. That didn't really hit me emotionally whatsoever. None of that. I was mostly just really confused by all of it.
Yeah, for the most part, me too. Yeah, I don't know. There's something about this movie that, in my opinion, doesn't make it bad at all. It's just...
No, I don't think so either. I think it's like well-directed. There's like clearly whatever the director intent was, he got what he wanted, right? We just like are not... We didn't really connect with what he was trying to... The story he was trying to tell.
Right.
So I'm... Kind of track with you as well?
Yeah, 100%. It just feels like we didn't like the movie at all, the way we talked about it.
I mean, it's just... Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think so. I think, like, I did like it, but I think that also was, like, it was hard to kind of get into. I did watch it, like, in two sittings. Because, like, it did just take me, like, a while to kind of, like... I never felt, like, the stakes... Or what was going on? What was happening? I was just like, "Dad leaves. Okay, great. They're in the forest. Great. This happens. Great. Yeah. All right. It's just like boom, boom. It was just never. I never really got into it.
Caretaker's bad.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, that guy's weird. Running around with a gun. Okay. He wants to go. Okay.
Shoots a kid.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
And then I almost felt like the ending was almost. I could have predicted that everything was just going to be awful. So it was like I wasn't.
Yeah.
The way the story was unfolding, I was like very early on thinking like, okay, they're probably all going to die. It's like there was no suspense there for me.
But they don't. The little girl survives.
Maybe. I don't know.
Nah, she's a fairy.
She's a fairy. That's a good reading on it, John. Let's go with that. Let's go with that. It's a good one. Alrighty. Do you have any other thoughts before we rate it?
No. I mean, I like the location. It is clearly that's got to be a budget thing. There's like three locations.
Mm-hmm. The forest stuff has seemed very like samey, right? It was like the same stuff all the time. But okay. All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones. Ha.
Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know.
Show us your
sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give In My Mother's Skin 5 sexy spooky bones.
You know, I'm going to give it a 6 only because I think it's like, even though I wasn't like into it, I think it's still probably one of the better horror movies that was released last year that I saw.
That's fair. That makes sense. Yeah.
Like it still was a really well done horror movie. I guess, you know what I mean? But it wasn't like, nothing blew me away. Just no. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm giving it middle of the road. Like, it's not bad. It's not my favorite. I think some of the more gory aspects were a little bit forced. Yeah.
Cool. All right. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. And eat those free candies.